sports and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports.
FSP back in the place to be doing a doobie doobie for you, and I talk fast because money talks, and you know what else walks. It's Saturday. This is Fantasy Sports and Politics. You know, last week, my boy, JTATM Money, along with my cousin, stepped in and had a great show. At the end of the show, we had Daryl Too Sweet Cooley come on. And there was a discussion about boxing. And we're going to touch upon that subject because this weekend, tonight, in several hours, in Las Vegas, Nevada, Pac-Man faces Timothy Bradley. And in my opinion, I think Pac-Man is going to knock him out. I really think he is. We're going to talk about that. My boy, JTATM Money, the man with the master plan, get it, his show, Master Plan, is going to step on the stage and talk about draft day. He's fresh off of seeing the movie. He's going to give us his review of the movie as far as authenticity, screenplay, acting, stuff like that. He's going to give it either thumbs up or thumbs down. You know, we're either going to applaud it or we're going to boo it. We'll hear from JT in a little bit. Also, NBA playoffs are right around the corner, and what has happened to the Indiana Pacers? And since, you know, pretty much the Heat, they don't have it wrapped up with the Pacers going down, but since the Heat have a half-game lead, will LBJ finish the last three or four games of the season playing four games? Or at least until they wrap up the number one seed? This is a question in fantasy baseball, fantasy basketball and other areas that a lot of us, you know, participants need to know. Because he could be a playoff push for some people, or he could be a GOAT in these, like, FanDuel and Draft Street places. Whereas you pay the X amount of dollars for the player, and then he doesn't perform, and then you're stuck with a donut. We'll see what happens there. But I mentioned money talks. When I bring in my co-host, we're going to talk about exactly what it is that went down with Money Talks, CNBC's show. We'll give a big shout-out to Chris from Money Talks. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But right now we bring in my co-host, JT, 18 Money, the Siskel and Ebert of the group. JT, what's going on? Jerry, Mr. Taylor, oh, this must be Mr. Nixon, Otis, okay, guess not. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not sure what it is that it does what it does, but right now, I'm going to get on board, and I'm going to talk about some great, great stuff. There we go. There's my co-host, JT.
What are you doing, man? What are you doing to me?
Hey, I don't know. I was calling you. You didn't say anything.
Sure so I did. Like, okay. I spoke up. I said, what's up? I'm pumped up for draft day, May 8th.
Okay. Well, I am too. I am too. But let's start with that review. Let's start with that review. You said you're pumped up for draft day.
Absolutely, man. I'm telling you, I was really excited about this movie. I mean, I tried to get people to go with me, but they thought I was crazy going to see Draft Day. I don't normally go to the movies, so to me, this is a big event for me to go to the movies. And since it was Draft Day, I went at a discount price to the theater. Of course, it's in the morning, and there's hardly anybody in there at that time. I would guess it's probably the max was maybe 15 people in that one theater I was in, which is fine. Sat down, quite naturally went through all the trailers and whatever else, advertisements they want to spew at you before you actually get to watch the movie. And in my opinion, I was not disappointed. I mean, I heard people just like myself laughing at a couple things, a few things that were happening in the movie, a lot of twists and turns, especially in dealing actually with the draft and surprising things that happened in the draft in this movie. I would recommend people who are definitely football fans or even hardcore or even light football fans to go watch this movie because I found it enjoyable and feeling good at the end of the movie after I walked out of there. Great movie, in my opinion.
Okay. Well, Arian Foster, a real-life football player,
mm-hmm.
plays a pivotal role in the movie. Terry Crews is his dad, and he's supposed to be going to the draft, and he's this highly sought-after player and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how did he go? And
well,
take us right into
he doesn't play a pivotal role in it. He plays a role in it. He's got a part in the movie. It's not a pivotal part. He's got some baggage that goes along with his role character in the picture. But let me put it this way. Now, I can see anybody that is in a position of a person in power like Kevin Costner was, the wheel and deal and that has to be done. You can also relate it to fantasy football because you're doing a draft. You're trying to make trades. You're trying to make moves to better your team, whatever, or get the most beneficial players for your team. I mean, you got to watch this movie. P. Diddy's in the movie, which I didn't know until he plays a very good role in this. He happens to be, and I'll give it a little bit, he happens to be the agent for the number one rated everybody's old boy type of quarterback that everybody's coveting. And he plays his role well. I have to tell you, I'm not going to give you the whole movie. You got to go watch this movie, Victor, I'm telling you. Some of it may be predictable. Some of it may not be. But it's a good football movie. It's a feel-good movie. It's got a lot of twists and turns on the professional side of how a draft day goes, and also on a personal side of somebody's whose life is taking a lot of twists and turns. Also, meaning Kevin Costner. I highly recommend this movie for people who. Especially for people who are NFL fans, I think you get a hell of a kick out of watching this movie. I'm surprised you didn't go see it yesterday or even have made plans to go see it in the near future. I'm not sure. But this is a great movie, in my opinion. Great movie.
I do plan to go see it, but seeing as though my wife wouldn't go to a movie like that, you know, it's kind of hard to go. Unless I go by myself, because my
coworkers,
take
your kids.
My boys, is it kid appropriate? That's another question. Because if I take my boys,
absolutely.
Okay. Any
PG,
bad
words? Let me put it this way: it's PG-13. I think there's very few four-letter words in it, if that's what you're concerned about. But there's absolutely no type of sexual content in it. maybe some passive stuff, but nothing that you actually see any. I think the major thing about it is maybe one or two kisses at the end of the movie. That's it. So.
Okay. All right, I'm down with that. I'm down with that. So I might take the kids to go see it. But since we're talking about draft day,
mm-hmm.
and we're talking about Arian Foster, that means we're talking about your Houston Texans. And, you know, well, first of all, I take it you're going to applaud this movie, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Without a doubt. I give it two thumbs up.
All right. I was going to say, with absolute power corrupts absolutely, but I decided not to. But we got two things here. Arian Foster plays for the Houston Texans, who then also went out and got a new head coach, who in turn brought in a new system. They also
mm-hmm.
had the number one pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, Arian's coming off of a major back surgery, and he says – he'll be ready for OTAs, right?
And he says it wasn't as major as people thought.
Correct. Correct. So he says his biggest struggle isn't the injury. Here's what he says his biggest struggle is.
Whoever the best guy for the job is, and I don't get paid to make those kind of decisions, and so that's the job of our general manager, owner, and head coach. And so you just kind of have to roll with whoever they roll with, and you know, my job is to make his job as easy as possible, you know, knowing my pass protections and making off-schedule plays to help him out.
So the quarterback situation in Houston is up in the air, and Arian's biggest problem is going to be learning the playbook and pass protection and protecting whoever it is that they bring in at QB.
So what's your point? What's your point?
My point is this. They don't have a surefire starter in Houston. Arian
okay.
Foster's coming off of – he's coming off of back surgery, which doesn't bode well for a running back. He also is going to see a lot of 8 and 9 men in the box because, let's face it, there aren't any top-tier quarterbacks in free agency, and the best quarterback coming out of college isn't ready to take over a team like Andrew Luck or RG3. So, therefore,
So you're jumping on board with what I've been saying for the last ever since the Super Bowl has been over with, that none of these quarterbacks are first round worthy, even though they're going to be taken in the first round.
Well, what I'm jumping on board with is that none of these guys are top 10, well, maybe top two or top three talent. I don't think they're top three talent. And the problem is that Blake Bortles has that big body, played in a decent system, and he can confuse a lot of folks into believing that he'll be a great quarterback. Remember, I told you, you're like Chad Pennington. You like your Chad Pennington. The thing is...
Who?
A.J. McCarron's. A.J. McCarron's. But
you know, you're wrong about this kid, and I'll keep banging my head against a steel wall because there's a difference between Chad Pennington and this kid. This kid can throw the ball, maybe not like a John Elway type of gun, maybe not like a Dan Marino type, but on his pro day, the majority of his throws were deep balls. And I think he threw over 60, close to 70 times, if I'm not mistaken. And the majority of his throws were deep balls. Just to prove that he can throw the ball deep. And he's, like I keep on saying, this kid has won. Period. Three games lost in his college career. Three games.
Well, that's also because he had a stellar running back, set of running backs with linemen, and also a very tough
defense. Hello? Let me put it this way. Listen to what I'm saying. And people are not, you're just grouping AJ McCarron, and you're not looking at the, I think you're not looking at the big picture of the Houston Texans. The Houston Texans had a decent defense. Their problem was on the back end, not at the front end of the defense, which they're going to address. Okay. When I say the back end, I'm not talking about linebackers. I'm talking about DBs and safeties. That's what their problem was. Okay.
Got it.
Now you add a added pass rusher, which is going to improve your pass defense because the quarterback with two bookend pass rushers is going to have less time to pass the ball down the field, which is going to help your back end. You have a strong defense with a stud as a running back, and he's going to come back healthy with a decent, with a very good backup in Andre Brown, just in case he goes down. And you don't have to have a Andrew Luck type of quarterback. It'd be nice, but there's no Andrew type quarterback in here. But you have a head coach who has been known. Tom Brady, he coached Tom Brady. The kid from, and I can't recall his name, from Penn State, he coached him up. And the kid from Penn State played very well for him. So if he brings in a quarterback that's very coachable, A.J. McCarron type of quarterback, who's used to winning and a very coachable type of quarterback. Now, I like A.J. McCarron, but I think if they're going to bring a quarterback in, he's going to be coachable and be able to talk. So I'm not worried about what quarterback he bring in, but it's got to be a quarterback in the second round versus trying to take one of these quarterbacks that I don't feel is first round ready, especially first pick. You take the pass rusher, you play stellar defense, have a decent running game, and you don't ask your quarterback until he grows into the position to do too much. That's what I'm talking about.
That's fine, JT. That's fine. I mean, I'm just looking at the entire draft and what's available. AJ, you might get him in the third round. Not too many people are needing a quarterback. But again,
a lot of teams need quarterbacks.
Well, listen. I really think that your team is going to make a deal with the Redskins to get Kirk Cousins.
Get the heck out of here.
I really think so, because I don't see us signing Colt McCoy any other way. We signed Colt McCoy. I don't like Colt in this system of Jay Gruden to go downfield. Because Jay Gruden, he likes to do short pass stuff like that, which Colt is good with, and he's somewhat mobile, but he just doesn't have the arm in the NFL. But he's a stopgap for Robert Griffin III, whereas Kirk Cousins, I honestly said this when he first came out a couple years ago, that he deserves the opportunity to start. Since he didn't go to Cleveland, and Cleveland could still try to trade for him, I think the Texans and Cleveland are in play for him as a quarterback. Now, I say this because I don't think the Texans are going to get quarterback number one. They're going to get Jadeveon. And if they go otherwise, something's wrong with them. I like Johnny Manziel. Johnny Manziel's good. He actually surprised me scoring that high on the Wonderlic, because most, you know, quote-unquote athletes, and we use that term because, you know, how most mobile quarterbacks are normally of African-American ethnicity, you know, they don't score that well on because they're not real students. But they're students of the game.
And Johnny Whoa! That's a very disparaging remark that you said there.
Well, I'm going to keep it the way I see it. I'm not being Mac. I just want to put that out there. I am not being Mac. What I'm saying is,
before you go any further. You should listen to I don't know if you listened to last night's show, but we had a very spirited conversation, Mac and I. So
about
let me put it this way. I'm not going to go into it. Just watch the show about our people. Let me put it that way.
Are you coming back next week?
Huh? Huh?
Are you coming back?
Yeah. You know, Victor, you got to understand something here. I'm a pretty level-headed guy, and I don't hold any kind of grudge per se. So when I have a conversation, it's a conversation, and it's over and done with. You know, if as long as you understand my point of view, you give me your point of view, we can agree to disagree. That's fine with me. I mean, you know, it takes a lot for me to actually change my mind and to really get pissed off somebody and not want to deal with them again. It takes a lot for me to do that.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Here's my thought process, and that's cool. I'm glad, you know, y'all had a good conversation. Actually, for some reason, I loaded that episode onto Spot On, and I'm glad I did, now that you told me. But what I mean by my comment is Randall Cunningham, intelligent, athletic quarterback, happened to be African-American, right? Steve McNair, very athletic quarterback, had to learn how to read defenses and had to learn how to be a NFL quarterback. So he didn't come in that way. You know, whereas I think Randall did. Randall came in that way. You go back to the first black quarterback to play for the Raiders. Very astute quarterback. You know, then, you know, you go back to the Bears. Athletic quarterback. Happened to be black. And the only reason why I made that comment is because Johnny Manziel, he exhibits a lot of black traits. I'm just saying. You know, if you want to lump them in with Steve Young and Fran Tarkenton and Kenny Stabler and all those guys, you can do that. However, the one thing I'll say about those guys were that they use their brain more. Steve Young actually, you know, he had to learn how to be a pocket quarterback as well. So, you know, I'm not saying it can't be done. I'm not saying it shouldn't be done. But when you have a Jadeveon Clowney sitting out there, at number one, I'm not going to waste that pick on someone that I would have to develop that much more when I can put Jadeveon on the front line with J.J. Watt, a young player himself who was already dominant, and then work around in my secondary and get some pretty decent players to play in the secondary. You're only going to need 3 seconds with those two boys, plus the rest of those guys up front.
Well, you know, I'm so glad you come to my thought process, because I've been saying that for how long? I've been saying that for how long?
I've been saying it too. So have I.
I don't know about that. I thought you were on board with picking one of these quarterbacks with the first pick.
Oh no! My cousin, he said that. Remember, I think he was the only one that said that. If the Texans didn't pick up your boy, Johnny Manziel, that they would be fools and they would regret.
No, that was black. That was black also. Black said that also.
Okay, I thought it was just my cousin, but
I thought you were on board just like everybody, just like a few of us.
No. I think, honestly, that Jadeveon Clowney, I think we just spoke my cousin up. But My thought process is to, you know, get Jadeveon, get him on, and, you know, work around that and bring in whatever quarterback in the second or third round, because you get the first pick in the second round anyway.
Yep.
You can always trade back up into the first round and
yep.
pick up Garoppolo.
Yep.
Pick
yep.
up. And I think Bridgewater's going to slip. I really think Bridgewater
is he's going to slip. He's going to slip. The reason why he's going to slip is his private workouts. It was almost a mirror image of his pro day, and I do believe he's going to slip because of the fact is he hasn't been showing all that he's supposedly pro ready. So there's going to be some red flags that's going to be waved. With some GMs, especially the ones that brought him in for private workouts. And I think he's going to slip. Absolutely, I think he's going to slip.
Well, we're going to bring in somebody here on the Fantasy Sports Book and Casino.com hotline.
where players win and winners play. I think that's how Jerry Reed coined that.
Absolutely.
All right, we're going to bring in, I believe, my cousin, Mikhail. We spoke him up a little bit. So jump in. We know you got something to say. And let's go.
I really don't have too much to say, but.
What's up?
What's going on, man?
All right.
I mean, Texans is just—I just think it'd be a real bad move. I mean, I understand y'all thought process, you know, but I'm not on no bandwagon or anything, you know. But I just know what my eyes are seeing. That dude is a star. He is a pure star. And if you want to put the Javion star against Manziel star, I'm gonna take the quarterback star any time of the day, anytime. Every day, all day. I think this youngin is ready. He could do it. And I think he's going to take, you know, I think he's going to take it to the next level. And I really think Houston will be making a big mistake if they do not get him. I mean, it's just too many reasons to get him. I mean, he's a Texas boy. He got the game. Brandon, he not ready. You know what I'm saying? He is not ready, but he can get there. And that upside trumps Jadavian's upside. Any upside Jadavian got. You know? I mean, it's not that I don't like Jadavian. And it's not that I don't understand that thought process. I really do. I mean, I really wouldn't be upset if they did it, you know, from a football aspect of it, but you can't pass up on Manziel, man. I think you'd be overthinking if you pass him up. You'd be overthinking. It's just too easy.
Let me put it this way. Go see Draft Day, and because the number one pick supposedly was the supposed to be the quarterback, and that's all I got to say. The number one pick was supposed to be the quarterback.
Well, here's what I'm gonna get to that. Because I think it's a good point. I look at a team such as the St. Louis Rams. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Their front seven is out of this world. Robertson, Long, all these other cats up front with some good linebackers. Defense is very good. However, Sam Bradford, the former number one pick, can't stay healthy. They get a Tavon Austin, an outstanding wide receiver, and they don't know really how to use him, and they wait towards the end of the season to play Zach Stacy. Zach Stacy's a guy I drafted in a lot of leagues and said, this is the guy that needs to start. But because St. Louis didn't see that, I dropped him, and they waited until it was like, what, 4 or 5 games left in the season to start the guy. But I saw the potential there and the ability of him to make that team a better team right then and there. So what I'm getting to is this. My cousin might feel that Johnny Manziel is the best player, hands down, who needs a little development quarterback, which I can agree, he's a very talented player. Don't think he's the best player. But every team needs that quarterback that's going to be in there and lead the team while the defense does its job. The defense can, you know, manage to hold a team to 10 points, great. That means you got to get 11. And that's why the Baltimore Ravens were so good with Trent Dilfer, because they had a horse in Jamal Lewis, who ran the ball. And they had Quadri Ismail. They had Brandon Stokley. They had, I forgot the other receiver, and a decent tight end. I believe it was Todd Heap at the time. I'm not sure if it was. I might be mistaken on that. But at the same time, Trent Dilfer was the one that won the Super Bowl off of his arm, because the whole season it had been Jamal Lewis. Jamal Lewis had like 30-something yards in that game. Same deal with this past year's Super Bowl. You know, my cousin and I went on the air a week or so before talking about, well, you know, if Marshawn Lynch has X amount of touches, X amount of yards, they win the game. And I said, no, they don't. If he has 80
first
yards.
Off, First off, Steve, you forced that conversation. Because what I was trying to tell you during that during that episode was that the game was going to be won on the other side of the ball.
Will you listen? Will you just be quiet and listen? I'm trying to make that point. I'm tired of listening to you. Then don't listen. Hang up. I'm just trying to get to the point. What I'm saying is that Marshawn was a key factor that carried that team along with the defense. What happened in the Super Bowl was the defense showed up and Wilson showed up. So if you get a guy like A.J. McCarron, you get a guy like Blake Royals or somebody that can manage that game but has the potential to, you know, explode and be a high-impact performer in one of those games, then you'll have it. You will have it. So with Arian Foster's back, right, but you load up that defense with Jadeveon Clowney and Watts.
Yep.
And the secondary gets better. You already got Andre Johnson. You've already got the other receiver. I forgot his name, but he was a young guy.
DeAndre Hopkins.
DeAndre Hopkins. You got a tight end there, right? You can. The old line isn't that bad. Who did they get as a backup running back? Was it Brown from the Giants?
Andre Brown, yes.
Yeah, Andre Brown from the Giants. So you got a smasher. You don't need, per se, that top flight quarterback in this system right now. You need somebody that can manage the game well enough.
Yep.
And let your team do the rest. Johnny Manziel is going to be one.
I disagree with that. I mean, Jerry, you're not going to like what I'm going to tell you, but you'll be lucky to get 2 years out of Andre Johnson and that running back. You'll be lucky to get that. If they ain't done this year, one of them dudes is going to be done this year. One of them. And I like both of them dudes, but, it's about time. It's about time. What they've been doing, 7 years now? 6-7 years? Uh-uh. You need to start rebuilding. You can't just patch it and say you don't need this and you just need a manager and think you're going to make a run. You're not going to make a run this year with any of these quarterbacks.
I agree.
Even if you take one from the second round, you're not going to make no run this year. It ain't going to happen. You're going to need 3 years either way. With Johnny, you may get lucky with two to make a run next year, but I don't even think that's even plausible. You're going to need 3 years. Houston should be rebuilding. You know, you got a new coach. You know what I'm saying? You got a couple of key contributors, but on offense, those dudes on their last leg. Defense is good. You know what I mean? I got to understand if you solidify with one more player and then say, all right, we're going to pick up somebody from the second round and see what we can do next year in the draft or whatever, or see whatever's there. But I don't think you're going to find another dude like you're not going to get a chance to get a dude like Manziel next year. I mean, next year is the other dude, you know, from Florida going to get out there, but
I think Jameson is better. And you know what?
Yeah, but you ain't gonna get a chance to get Jameson next year.
Well, there's a chance. I mean, I'll put it this way.
Unless your team go tank this year.
Well, that's what I'm gonna bring up to you. That you can do one of two things. Either what you're saying is if either way. This is what I'm getting from you. I don't know if this is what you mean. But what you're saying is they're not going to have a chance to get Jameson next year because they're going to be so much better this year that they'll be far down in the draft. And
no, I don't think they're going to be a 3-13 to be up that high in the draft. I don't think that.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I don't think they're going to be good or great or whatever, but they should be hovering just below or just around 8-8. And, you know, that puts them in the middle.
Yeah, that puts them in the middle
of the pack. But if you take a draft pick, say you jump down and, you know, pick up a second round dude or whatever, I think the best thing to do is to go with that dude, A.J. McCarron, if you're not going to get Manziel. But I don't know. I need to see that youngin, but I just don't think that youngin is the type of talent that Manziel is.
He doesn't need to be.
He doesn't need to be.
Yeah, but you're right. He doesn't need to be today, right? But like I'm telling you, your pieces, they got a shelf life of maybe a year or two. So then you're gonna be drafting around your quarterback anyway. You're gonna be drafting around your quarterback anyway, because you're gonna be looking to replace Andre Johnson and my man in the running back. I forget his name.
I know exactly what you're saying. You're talking about Arian Foster maybe has 2 years left. Andre Johnson has maybe 1 or 2 years. But they've already started trying to replace Andre Johnson with last year's draft pick. This year, there are maybe three solid running backs in the entire draft. Maybe three. And the one from the University of Washington, Carlos Hyde out of Ohio State, and then there's one more running back. But those are the three running backs that stick out this year in this draft. And I can see them. I can see the Texans. This is Jerry's team, but we can't say too much on this because I got to get to the next subject matter. But I can see them getting a running back this year for the future. Arian Foster's, what, 26? And he's had a couple issues. So I think he'll probably be splitting time with Andre Brown quite a bit this year. So that's going to be in the works. But if you get an A.J. McCarron in this year, if you get another Garoppolo this year,
yep,
and still have the Jadeveon Clowney, that means you have struck gold and you can build around them guys and develop that quarterback one more year, especially if you don't plan on getting Jameson next year. I mean, that's the plan, never to be in the top 10 of the draft. So I think that's the situation. But speaking of a team that needs a quarterback, here's the one question the Jacksonville Jaguars have been asking.
Probably who you bring with you if you get drafted here. I was like, myself? Nah, my family not going to come, just me. But that's probably the most question I've been getting asked.
The Jacksonville Jaguars asked the Jadeveon Clowney back, who are you bringing here with you? Are you out of your mind? Now, I get it. You don't want to bring trouble to your organization. Mike Williams just got traded to Buffalo. The Buck said, well, because of his issues with, you know, the law and stuff like that. Well, his brother just stabbed him in the leg. So, and he's had a DUI and something like that. But I'm going to ask you guys, how appropriate is that type of question for any organization to ask a player that's coming in? I know you're getting a lot of money, but Jadeveon says that's the question he's been getting asked the most, and that's the one question that Jacksonville asked him. So I'm going to start with Mike, then we'll go to Jerry.
What was the question that they asked him? Because I couldn't hear.
Who are you bringing here with you?
Who are you bringing here with you?
Yes. Meaning, are you bringing your boys,
your girl, your mother, your father? Are you bringing trouble? Or what are you bringing to the organization other than yourself?
And you're asking me if that's a fair question?
Yeah. Is it a fair question, and what do you think about it?
I mean, that's about par for the course right about now. I mean, they've been asking all kind of crazy questions, and, I mean, this crazy innuendos about Johnny Manziel right now. I mean, you know, about his distractions and all like that, but, you know, every time you look at the football, you look at the tape, the dude is amazing. I mean, so I think that's about par for the course. You can expect that. I mean, I remember the year Cam came out. You remember what his owner asked him and said to him. So,
about
I mean,
the tattoos.
It's about par for the course now.
Okay. What you got, Jimmy?
Yeah, I don't think that is inappropriate at all. Especially in this day and age when teams are very leery of certain element being around their players, or players having affiliations with certain things, just like Aaron Hernandez. And supposedly, and I'm not accusing him, but supposedly DeSean Jackson. So, yeah, you're gonna get that question asked. That's absolutely. That's probably this is par for the course right now. You're going to get that question asked: who you bringing with you? What type of people are you going to be surrounded with when you come to this organization? And that's key. That's because it has to do. If they're spending millions of dollars for you to play with them, they don't want any off-field distractions that's going to cause you to land in jail or to paint a bad light on the organization that you're tied with. So, yeah, that's an appropriate question, absolutely.
Okay. I just thought it was odd that that's the one question that Jadeveon Clowney says he's been getting asked. And
you're going to get asked that question. He may be a high-profile player, but I can guarantee that a lot of players that are getting interviews from all these different teams, they're getting asked that question. Maybe not all of them, but a lot of them are getting asked those questions. Who are you bringing with you? Or maybe not framed like that, but something like that, because they want to know, are you going to bring a lot of trouble, or are you going to bring yourself and people surround yourself with people that are going to be on a positive note versus something negative that's going to pull you and the organization down?
I got it. I just thought it was interesting. Well, what we're going to do right now is we're going to take a real quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the fight tonight, Pacquiao Bradley 2. I'm going to disclose something that I just did, and I hope it doesn't come back to bite me in the butt. But it involves the CNBC show Money Talks. Also, when we come back, we're going to hear from Mike Wallace, the reporter for the Miami Heat. What's going on? Does he feel that the Heat are turning on at the right time, or what? Stick and stay. We'll be back in 2 minutes, and we'll get that going. See you in a minute.
If you want to add a little spice to your talk radio, try No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Arguably, No Chaser is the most, shall we say, controversial show in the lineup. Let me give you a couple of direct quotes. If LeBron took a shit in the middle of the street in broad daylight, his Boy Scouts would say it's the greatest one ever. Here's another. Y'all dumb donkeys keep believing what Obama says. Just watch. This country is going to get worse, and I'm just going to sit back and say, I told you so. I can only assume this is why the show is called No Chaser. You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. It's No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor. Information, motivation, variety. If you love sports, you're in store for a treat. Every Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern, you can tune into The Master Plan with Jerry the Master Taylor, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. The Master Plan features
a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of NBA, a little bit of baseball, a little bit of basketball, a little bit of football, a little bit of everything. And this is The Master Plan.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The Master Plan. Information, motivation, variety.
Hi, I'm Russell Gilchrist. When I need fantasy sports advice, I listen to Fantasy Sports and Politics on Blog Talk Radio.
All right, all right, all right. We are back, better than ever. It's me, Demetrius FSP, along with JKTM Money. It is Fantasy Sports Politics. On the line, we got my cousin, Mikhail. We're talking about, or we're just talking about, the NFL draft happening on May 8th and our thoughts on players and stuff like that. And Jerry gave a review of what he thought about the movie Draft Day. If you want to get in on a conversation, you can always call in on the Fantasy Sports Book and Casino.com line, where players win and winners play. The number is 347-637-3220. Again, that number is 347-637-3220. Or we come to blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK and jump on the chat. Whatever you put in there, it stays in there until I talk about it on the air. So whatever you put out there, be prepared to talk about it. Don't be one of those people to just type it and don't come on the air and talk it. That's all I got to say. Two topics, guys, two topics. And I just got a text from one of the listeners, a friend of the show, Clarence Nixon. I know he wants to talk about Pac-Man and Bradley, but the first thing I'm going to do before we get there, we're going to discuss the Miami Heat. Now, look, ladies and gentlemen, Dwayne Wade, you know, he's hurt, but I think he's just gearing up for the playoffs, so he's sitting out a little bit. LBJ is doing a lot of work out there by himself. Chris Bosh is contributing a little bit, not that much. But I saw a video of a kid doing his best LeBron James impersonation, a flopping. A kid, 8-year-old kid, peewee basketball. You taught him well, LBJ. But what I want to get to is the performance of the Heat. Last night, they beat the Indiana Pacers, who are self-destructing. I mean, it takes you back to the early 80s. Self-destruction. You're headed for self-destruction. I mean, I don't know what's going on there, but it's crazy. So right now, let's hear from Mike Wallace, who also appeared on our show, on the FSP Crew show a couple years ago, and hear what he has to say about this Heat win.
I saw a team that basically played possum. I mean, they told us the other night in Memphis that they didn't care about the number one seed. They just wanted to get healthy. Well, LeBron James went out and proved tonight that you can still do both. You can try to get healthy, and you can still, you know, play with aggression and try to go out and take this number one seed. And with the performance tonight, they did. They leapfrogged the Pacers now and are ahead by a half a game going into tomorrow night's game against the Hawks.
So, looking at the schedules, what, 4 or 5 games left, if I'm not mistaken. They have a half a game lead on the Pacers, who are fading. And I wouldn't have thought that that was what happened. But this is a two-part question for both of you guys. One, do you think when Danny Granger got traded, that began the unraveling of that organization and team? And two, is it just that time that, you know, LBJ and the Heat turn it on just enough to make a statement and close out the East? I'm going to start off with Jerry, and we're going to end with my cousin Mike.
Say that again. I'm sorry. Say that again.
Okay. The first part is, do you think the rumors and the a subsequent trade of Danny Granger began the unraveling and self-destruction of the Indiana Pacers? And is this just the time that the Heat turn it on just enough to win the East?
Well, I don't think the Danny Granger move was best for the team at the time. Let the kids that he had in place, the starting five, the whole team, do their thing, and pretty much Danny Granger was, according to the organization, or I imagine, bringing that organization somewhat down, so that they didn't want to have that burden of pushing, Granger into the lineup, and let the kids play and gain some experience with each other and confidence, more confidence. They started out fine. Unfortunately, they are where they're at now. It could be a variety of things. Supposedly, there's a lot of conflicting personalities in there. I don't think the Granger move or would have made a difference whether he stayed or not. I think this thing would have come to a head one way or the other. And Miami, well, they've been, I wouldn't say coasting, but they know basically, because they've been through the wars over the last three seasons, really, when to turn it on, when to turn it off, four seasons, whatever it is. And they know this is go time. This is the time to get their act totally together, because playoffs are right around the corner. So, yeah, I think they're just turning it on now. And but everybody's 0-0 and even when it comes to the playoffs. So don't discount that Indiana team turning around and doing good things, or great things in the playoffs.
Mike?
Yeah, I don't think the Granger trade had anything to do with their meltdown and collapsing. That's just ridiculous, because, I mean, he wasn't even contributing anyway. But, you know, it's the difference between champions and contenders, you know. Indiana is a formidable contender, and they are showing it, you know. Real formidable contender, but they're not looking like champions, man. That, you know, with them collapsing like this and the bickering and back and forth, you're not a champion going like this, man. So hopefully they can get it together and make it a good series or whatever. But, yeah, the Heat, they really just kind of coasting, and they're going to really turn it on when it's really time for them to do what they need to do.
Okay. My thoughts on it is this, and it's a lot of stuff that people have been saying, that though Danny Granger was not playing, he's one of those locker room guys that keeps the whole group together. And when Larry Bird and the organization decided to part ways with him, that's when a lot of the bickering became public. Roy Hibbert, you know, calling out Lance Stevenson and the point guard talking about Stevenson and people taking too many shots and this, that, and the third. So a cohesiveness is what I think the whole issue came about when Danny Granger left. Now, I get what Jerry was saying, like how the kids were playing well when Granger wasn't in the lineup, but Granger was there in the locker room and at practice and on the bench, you know, and I guess he was more of the calm head of a young team, even though Granger is young himself, you know. But I think that was an issue that really, really has sprung a huge leak in the team. My original comments early on in the season were that the Pacers should go to the NBA championship. Right now, to be quite honest, if they were to start today, the Pacers would play the Wizards. And from Thursday's show, we talked about the Wizards' issues with closing out the games. But I honestly think if the Wizards were to play the Pacers right now, they would sweep him in a five-game series. The reason why I say this is because I have a lot of Indiana Pacers fans that are friends of mine, and they pointed out a couple things to me. I think this was the first time all year the Pacers went over 90 points. Or not first time this year, but in a very long time, like 2 months, 3 months or something like that, that they have gone over 90 points. Their defense isn't as good as it used to be. And the Wizards are up and down. They'll go up and down the court. They can play half court, but they prefer to run. So I think if they play the Wizards right now, or even if they play the Raptors right now in the first round, they will be swept. What does that leave in the East? It just leaves Miami, in my opinion, because the Nets are good. The Nets are good, but with KG, you know, getting put back in the lineup sporadically, all that young talent, just like the Pacers, is going to get put on the bench or is going to get sparsely used because you're trying to get KG back in the game, get his shot back, and all this other stuff. Sean Livingston came on really good this year, along with Deron Williams. And you noticed, I don't know if you followed the Nets, but the Brooklyn Nets, I said New Jersey, I meant Brooklyn. When KG went out hurt, Joe Johnson came on like gangbusters, and he was shooting the lights out. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff there going on. But right now, it hurts me to say it, but it looks like the Heat might have the inside track to go into the finals yet again. Will they three-peat? I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. All right. Now it's time to talk about something that doesn't take a little bit of time. Well, I hope it does. But we got two subjects, just in case it doesn't. Boxing. I've got two. Well, I actually have three boxing folks on the line, but we're going to talk about this. Tonight, Timothy Bradley defends his title that he originally won for Manny Pacquiao versus Manny Pacquiao. Bradley has not looked impressive as a champion. A couple fights that a lot of folks felt he should have lost, he won. The fight, the original fight, you know, a lot of people say, well, all you have to do is look at the tape. Look at the tape. He was blocking. He was blocking. Stuff like that. Well, I think he wants to come out and make a point and knock Pac-Man out or win decisively. On the other side, Pac-Man has the same mindset. He felt as though he won the fight, as I did, but he feels he has to make a point and dismantle Bradley and put him down for the count. Now, I did something, a once-in-a-lifetime thing for me, unless I win. But there's a show on CNBC called Money Talks. It's a very good show. A very good show. It's about it's not about bookmaking, but what they do is they get the inside information and they help people place bets. They don't place the bets, they help give the inside information. Well, I contracted them for 1 week. 1 week. Not that expensive, but it's a one-time deal for me. The information they have shows exactly what I'm talking about. Pac-Man plans to take this guy out within the first 6 rounds. Apparently, Pac-Man's going to be swinging for the fences. I don't know. That's what I've been told. That's what I've been advised. But this show, I want to give a shout-out to my guy Chris from Money Talks on CNBC. Comes on every Friday. I got some inside information on it. Personally, I think Pac-Man is going to try destroying to prove a point. But I've got some boxing guys on the line.
I want to get your thought processes on this fight, and we'll go from there. We'll start out with my cousin, and then we'll end with the sage of the group, JC.
I'm sorry. I got distracted, Victor. Go ahead, Mikal.
I
think this Pacquiao has got to knock. He's got to knock Timothy Bradley out. He's got. Hold on 1 second.
All right. Well, we're reinforcing that thought process. He's got to knock him out. I mean, I think so too. I think it has to be an exciting finish.
I'm sorry.
I said it has to be an exciting fight for either fighter. Both of them are.
I don't know, if it being an exciting fight going Bradley anyway. But Pacquiao has got to beat this guy. He's got to knock him out. He's got to drop him at least once in order for him to have that, you know, that claim, that stake to that pound for pound, and really to have a, you know, any type of legging to stand on to talk to fight Mayweather. I mean, it just won't even be if he doesn't. He can't do this on points. It's just not. But he's gonna have a real hard time chasing dude, because the dude can run and shoe shine pretty good, and he's pretty good. He's a pretty good counterpuncher. And boxers that can move and can counterpunch pretty well, they give Pacquiao a headache, which is why he had a problem with him in the first place. So I don't know who's gonna win this fight. Honestly, I don't care. I really don't like Bradley. Pacquiao, you know, while I like Pacquiao, I really do, but I think his ship has sailed. I think he's pretty much done. I don't think he won't fight no more. Really, I don't. I mean, ever since he went to sleep, he's been a different dude, man. He's been a real different dude.
Okay. JT?
I like Pacquiao in this fight. Timothy Bradley, he got to prove something to me. It was a controversial ending. The last time these guys fought, we talked about this last week. Bradley's got a point to prove because it was a controversial ending and people thought that he didn't win the fight. So he's got a point to prove. And Pacquiao's got a point to prove for the same reason, that it was a controversial ending, and he's going to have that much incentive to take Bradley out. So we'll have to wait and see.
I'll say this about both fighters. My cousin's right. Pac has been a different fighter since he got knocked out, but I think he's gotten that fire back to want to fight, to want to win by KO or decisive victories. I don't think he's sitting on his laurels anymore. I think that he's ready to come out there and prove a point and say, okay, you know what? We're going to make a fight. We're going to make some money. We're going to, I want to have a Mike Tyson-type ending here, first couple rounds. Now, with that being said, he has to catch Bradley first. He does. And Bradley, he's a champion. He doesn't have to win convincingly. All he has to do is win. So he can punch and run, punch and run, punch and run, and let Pac-Man chase him and then try to catch him. Will that happen? I don't know. It was interesting because of the conversation you guys had last week here with Too Sweet when he came on the air and that debate came up. You know, I found it rather interesting, you know, the conversation, because it was very similar to what we were talking about on his first visit to the show. But I think the fight is still there to be made. If Pac-Man wins convincingly,
and Floyd dispatches, which I think he should, next month of his opponent, I think that last fight on Showtime is going to be Pac-Man and Floyd. But let me bring in, on the Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com hotline, where players win and winners play, I believe my guy Otis, he's our boxing aficionado from the hood. We're going to call him he's got the hoodie award. Otis, we know you got something to say about this matchup. Speak freely, my friend. Otis.
Hey, this not Otis, man.
Oh, my bad. My bad. I thought it was Otis. Who do I have the pleasure of speaking with?
This is Nixon.
Oh,
like
shoot.
The president.
My bad, Cliff.
Yeah, man, you gave me somebody else's introduction, man. I didn't want to take that one, man.
That was my bad. My mistake. I'm up here looking at two different things. But go ahead. Tell me what you have to say about this fight.
Well, first I want to say that mentioning Floyd Mayweather is, you know, he's irrelevant right now in terms of Bradley versus Pacquiao. You know, because Floyd Mayweather and Manny, like, that fight has been close to being made several times and it hasn't been made. So I don't even think that should be an implication right now.
I said thank you, sir.
Yeah, people keep bringing up Mayweather like he's fighting tonight. But as far as Bradley goes, man, I don't think he's getting the respect that he deserves, that he earned from them last two fights. When you look at the last two fights he had, he fought Provodnikov, who's proven to be one of the best sluggers in the game right now. If not the best, you know, pure slugger in the game right now. Then he turned around and fought Marquez, who's arguably the best counterpuncher, most patient counterpuncher in the game right now. So we have to remember that Bradley has earned a wealth of experience since fighting Manny the first time. And all Manny did was, you know, get knocked out by Marquez and beat Brandon Rio, who's practically a one, if not two-dimensional fighter. So all of this, you know, all of this ideology that Bradley is the underdog or Bradley has to prove something, I think Manny has to prove something. And I think Bradley's going to win, man. I think that the Bradley that fought Marquez is a much more improved fighter than the one that Manny saw that first go-round. You know, he's more patient. His pants is better. He doesn't get off balance as much. Speed is still there. He's physically stronger. And when he fought Provodnikov, to be honest with you, I think he demonstrated enough punching power to where he may be able to drop Manny. So I'm picking Bradley, man. And I'm a Manny fan. Don't get me wrong. I'm a Pacquiao fan, but I think Bradley is a man on a mission, and I'm picking him to win it.
I'm glad you picked him to win because you're a loser, and so is
Bradley.
Oh, boy.
He undefeated, though. Well, Bradley undefeated, though.
He won't be after tonight.
Oh, okay. That's probably what you thought the first time they fought.
Hey, you know what?
Right.
Hey, Clifton.
He happens to be riding that Pacquiao bandwagon. You know that.
Yeah,
thank
he's
God.
Still on that Pacquiao bandwagon. He still think that Pacquiao is a force in boxing right now. But we all know better.
You guys. Terrible. Yeah, I'm going all y'all. Listen. I'll tell you like this. Pac-Man is on a mission. Cliff, you might not think that Brad has proved something, but I think mentally he feels he does. I already said it. He's a champion. He doesn't have to win quick. He can run all night long. He can counterpunch and run all night long and retain his title. But mentally, I think he feels as though he has to put this guy out based upon the stuff you said. I think he feels as though, okay, he went in there, fought the Russian. You know, I thought he should have lost that fight. But, you know, he came out and he got the victory. But he proved he could take a punch and he could throw a punch. You know, he fought Marquez. You know, he retained the title. Great. But I think in his mind, he needs to beat Pacquiao. And for sure, Pacquiao says, you know what? I should have won that fight before, so I'm going to prove why I should be the champion and put this guy on the map. Now, again, I haven't talked to my guy Chris at Money Talks on CNBC yet. I'm going to talk to him in a few minutes after the show. But, you know, that's the word on the street. I'm just going to put it out there that Pac-Man has trained to knock this guy out within the first 5 or 6 rounds. Now, will that happen? I don't know. But I know when his eyes get wobbly and those knees get cross-eyed, Pac-Man better jump on him like a rat on some cheese. You know, that's the way I feel about it. Will it happen? I don't know. I know that the legacy of Pac-Man right now depends on the outcome of this fight. Now, again, if he wins, there'll be a part 3. Maybe then there'll be some discussion. Again, I said the last fight of Mayweather on his contract. I think that comes up next year, not this year. So, yes, right now, Pac-Man and Mayweather in the same sentence probably isn't a good thing, but it's always good to look forward. Because if it's going to be Mayweather's last fight, it also could be Pac-Man's last fight, and it could be an awesome fight. But we'll see. We'll see. Other than that, are there any fights on the undercard that you guys want to talk about that has potential to be a good fight?
Not really, man. This doesn't seem like one of those undercards that has a lot of pieces. Feature fighters, like Herm said, they pretty much take them fights. So, I don't really have much to say about the undercard. I'm stoked about the main event and watching Bradley, finish his book.
Well, next week, here's what I'm going to do. I'm so confident that if Bradley wins next week, Mr. Nixon, you can come on the show. I'll give you control of the topic. You can be the host and put me in my place if he wins. Now, if he loses, I see a YouTube video being made of you talking to some Spanish people and praising Pac-Man and interviewing some Spanish people on the street. I don't care who you interview. And you have to say, I was totally wrong. I thought that Pac-Man would lose. I wish they talked to some Filipino people, but I don't know if you know any of those folks. But I want you to totally embarrass yourself in a YouTube video and post it on Facebook and on YouTube.
What's with you and YouTube now?
I don't know. I think it's just a thing about publicity. I have no idea. But is there a deal, Mr. Nixon?
Oh, man. I just said I'm a Pacquiao fan, man.
Nah. are you doing a Gregory Hines right now? I got that one from my cousin.
That's a tough bet right there, man. I'm a Pacquiao fan, and if Pacquiao wins, you want me to embarrass myself. I'm a Pacquiao fan. That doesn't add up, man.
Right.
Well, you picking against Pacquiao don't add up.
But I'm going with the better fighter. If I was an anti-Pacquiao fan, that would be different, man. But I like Pacquiao. I want him to win, but Bradley got him in this one, man.
Well, then just spin the wheel, make the deal. Make the deal. That's all I'm going to say. Being the pack, step off. What you got?
So I got to give you the answer now?
Okay.
How about I give you the answer when the referee gets to count number 8?
I know. That does not happen.
Let's go. It's a yay or nay, because I got one more topic to talk about, and I got 15 minutes.
I don't think I'm going to be able to take that bet, man, because if I accept it, then, you know, that's probably when Bradley's going to do something crazy, man. So let's just enjoy the fight, and this better be for bragging rights.
So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Nixon just gave a vote of no confidence to Mr. Bradley, even though he picked Bradley in the fight. That's all I'm going to say about that. He let his protons shrink up and go back in his stomach. It's okay.
It's okay.
We thank you. We thank you. All right. I'm just messing with you, Mr. Nixon. But, of course, if you had a sack, you probably would have took the bet. It's only a little embarrassment. You're a grown man. What's a little embarrassment to you? Anyway, about to move on to the next topic real quick. If you want to, I'll put you back on hold, Mr. Nixon. And unless you want to talk a little bit of baseball, I mean, that's up to you. But that's what the next topic. So, ladies and gentlemen, I've got another friend of mine here. It's JKTM Money. We got a matchup happening this week. But I also want to say next Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio, Fantasy Sports and Politics Clues Show, you're going to have the lead singer for MC Soul come on the air and talk to fantasy baseball. So we're going to have a rock star come on the show, talk some fantasy baseball, some baseball. Apparently he's a fantasy baseball aficionado. So we're going to put his skills to the test against JKTM Money and myself. But, baseball's in season, JT. Tell me what it is that's going wrong with your team. Tell the world what's going wrong with your fantasy baseball team. We're all ears.
Well, I have some all-star bats that aren't performing up to par right now. Hopefully they'll do it soon. This week it's going to be I go down and defeat again, but hopefully in the near future my bats will start hitting because my pitching is holding my team up, which my pitching was suspect before the season started, but right now they're basically holding my team up because my bats aren't performing at all. Plain and simple. Is that simple enough for you?
Well, yeah, that's simple because, you know, I'm going to whoop that butt this week.
You know, Victor, why are you so intent on making everyone look bad?
Because I have to make myself look good.
I can see that. You know what that is? Do you know what that is? A deep-seated insecurity. I hate to tell you that,
no,
Victor.
No.
And it's
no.
Real.
Well, no. You know why? Because we can't do money. I'm trying to move away from money. So if money, you know, if I can't do money, I got to do something else. That's what it actually is. It's not
okay.
An insecurity. It's the fact that I'm trying to move away from money.
Okay. So when you move away from money, you do it at the expense of your friends and relatives. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, because I'd rather do that than take their money.
You said you you said you're moving away from money.
Yeah, I'm trying not to place wagers on money because that's I admit I have a mini addiction to gambling. I like competition, I really do. So, in order for me to get my fix, I'm moving toward like videos and stuff. And,
he has to humiliate others. That's what he's basically was saying.
No, listen,
moving away from. I don't even like the statement, Jerry. Moving away from money.
I know what he meant, but what he said, the way he said it was a bad way of saying it. But I know what he meant. But he's doing it at the expense of friends and relatives, which is not good.
Well, here's the question, JT.
Moving away from money. I'm still trying to understand that.
Yeah, I know.
Gosh. Are you taking the deal, or are you going to be like Otis? I mean, not Otis. Are you going to be like Mr. Nixon and let your sack shrivel up? That's all I'm saying. Because the bet is the loser has to make a video.
I have no problem with that, Victor, because you know I don't have that big an ego, and I'm willing to make a wager. And just because I make a video saying I stink or whatever the video is, it's all in fun to me. And life's too short to take things too seriously like that. So if that's what's going to turn your clock, that's what's going to turn you on to want to make a wager like that, no problem. I don't have a problem with that.
All right, here's the parameters. When I win, Jerry has to make a video, a man on the street video, man on the street, just walking up to a couple people and, you know, ask them about baseball. And if they don't know anything, say, well, I mean, I don't care what you say. Just ask them a couple questions about baseball and wear a sign, maybe. Just have a sign.
That's not happening. That's not happening. You could ask for something, but then you go totally too far. And that's not going to happen. Like I said, you want to move away from money because of what's dealing with you, but you want to try to totally humiliate your friends and your relatives, and that's not right.
Okay, all right. You don't have to.
And then he do his Gregory Hines when he gets humiliated.
Yes.
Oh,
exactly.
No. I was gonna let him make his parameters for my video. That's fine. Not a problem.
You know, I wasn't going to ask you for a video. I just, you know, if I whoop that butt, I just want you to come on and admit that I know more than you. That you're not as well versed in baseball like I've been telling you, as you think you are. That's all I want.
As well as he think he is.
Mm-hmm. So I mean, I don't have to get a video and try to totally humiliate you and denigrate you like that. I'm not that type of guy.
Why you want to do that? It's because you already know the answer. You already know.
Yeah, Victor's better. You already know Victor's better. But the world needs to know that.
No, he already know you suck. We all know you suck.
You know what? Hey, are you in the deal? If you're in the deal, you can talk.
But you to say
not,
it so you can hear yourself say it.
You need to be quiet. You have no stake in this venture. So what is your stake? I mean, why are we missing?
Well, Victor, he does have a stake. You know why he has a stake? Because you first of all tried to get my man here, and he didn't want to go for the okie doke. Then you try to get me, and I'm pretty much passive and have you go for the okie doke up to a certain point. But like I said, you said you're stepping away from money and trying to instead of humiliate your friends and your family. So the next person you would go after is Macau. So don't say he's not involved in this because there's three guys. Wait a minute. But what's that got to do with anything? Why would you humiliate anybody or try to humiliate anybody?
It's not humiliation. It's just a sign of superiority.
Well,
You do it quite often. And my remarks were not out of character and was not on base. What did you do? What did you do at the end of the show when we debated about the Super Bowl? What did you say at the end of the show? Were you or were you not talking trash? You talked trash when
back.
I was off the line, as if I wouldn't hear it.
Hey, hold on. I came back the following week, humble. And said I was wrong.
No, you didn't.
You know.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
Jerry, you pulled the line. Did you hear him say that?
The week after the Super Bowl. It was the week after the Super Bowl. Come on now.
No. No, you did not.
No, you did not. You did not say I was wrong.
Actually, it wasn't the week after the Super Bowl.
You said everything but I was wrong. Everything but I was wrong. You was doing your Gregory Hines.
Oh, my goodness, please. I'm looking for this football trivia game. We're going to start doing trivia again. I keep saying this, and now that I have the opportunity, I can't find the football trivia because we're going to stump the hump with JT. But, JT, okay, we have a deal. You're making a video, and I'll come on here and lie to the people. Of course, you know, I'm not going to have to do that because I'm better, and we all know this.
Oh, God.
But,
Victor, I truly believe sometimes you got issues, but that's okay. I truly believe. You're a friend of mine, but, oof. Sometimes I wonder about you, Vic. Wow.
It's okay. I've got the football trivia. We're going to see. Thank you, daughter. My daughter bought me this trivia thing for Christmas, and I've been begging to use it. So here's what we're going to do, ladies and gentlemen. I'm bringing Clifton back on. We've got about 3 minutes left of live there. So we're going to put this out there. It's football game trivia. And we're going to start giving away prizes. This is how it's going to work, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to ask a question. I'm going to open up to the public. And the winner... I mean, we're going to do just like we did with Jerry. If the winner calls in with the answer, we'll send them a prize. Mr. Taylor, real quick, tell some of the people to surprise you before you join the show that you enjoy, and I want the Ray Lewis back. I'm just saying.
I look at the Ray Lewis autographed picture every day.
I don't like you right now. But tell the people.
Smiling just like Ray smiling back at me. Hello, Ray.
Shut up. Just tell me, or tell the listeners some of the great stuff that you won.
Well, I won a swimsuit calendar at one point. I won two tickets to an Indianapolis football game, Indianapolis Colts, when Peyton Manning was still there. But I couldn't make it. I couldn't make the trip at the time. So I think you had to give them to someone else. And then I also won this Ray Lewis, this autograph, and it's verified, a Ray Lewis picture with his signature on it.
So stuff isn't cheap, and it's not that bad. Here's a question off the top that I'm going to ask. It's a sample question, and you're not allowed to look it up. But what year was Oakland Raiders head coach John Madden inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame? Now, John Madden just turned, he had a birthday on, I believe, Thursday or Friday. So happy birthday, John Madden. But what year was Oakland Raiders head coach John Madden inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame? Mr. Nixon, do you know the answer?
I'm going to guess 1991.
Mr. Taylor.
Wow. Let me see. I'm not sure. I tell you the truth, I really you got me stumped on that one. I would say
I'm not looking it up.
I'm looking at the ceiling right now trying to think. I would say 95.
Mr. Moore.
I want to say like
99, but for some reason I'm thinking it might have been a little bit, it might have been like in the 2000.
Just give me a
Because I know, because when I remember his speech, and I remember playing Mad when during, you know, when the speech was on or whatever, because I was going to try and watch the gym. I'm going to say 2003, something like that, around that.
All right. Everybody was wrong, but Michael was the closest. 2006.
Whoa,
John Madden got inducted to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. 2006.
Yeah, I knew I was playing Madden when I saw his
okay. Whatever.
Well, that's where the trivia's gonna go. I got one more before we get off the air, and let's see if we can get this right. Jerry should know this. What year did the NFL begin requiring names to be worn on jerseys?
Oh, that's too easy.
Mr. Nixon.
Oh, my goodness.
That's too easy.
1959.
Mr. Taylor.
I don't know.
Oh, my
Mr.
God.
Moore.
Jerry, you got to know this one. I
Mr.
Exactly
Moore.
What year it is. It, the year is 1970, when right after the merger.
That is correct. 1970 is the year that the NFL started requiring players to wear names on the back of their jerseys. Very good.
Ding, 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 ding. Very good, Mikal.
That boy is genius.
So, we stumped the hump twice. Ladies and gentlemen, we're acting in overtime right now. But what I want to say is this. Every week that I get a chance, or Jerry, you can do it as well when I'm not here, if you choose to, I want to start doing football trivia again and occasionally giving away a prize, depending on what we got for the week. I came across a couple of great baseball cards, football cards, and basketball cards. I'm going to get a prize. I know I have one that's worth $500. It is Frank Thomas, Pinnacle, 1990, future Hall of Famer card. So I got to get it appraised. Right now it's sold at the cheapest on eBay for $500. So stuff like that is what I plan to give away. Maybe not that card, but cards like that. And maybe some. If I get some tickets, we'll do tickets again and stuff like that. But I want to thank everybody for coming on today. I want to thank our caller, Mr. Nixon, for coming on and not manning up, even though he made a pick. But I appreciate him coming on and giving us his insight on this upcoming fight between Pac-Man and Timothy Bradley. Thank my cousin for calling in and stirring up stuff, causing trouble as usual. But it's all good because that's what makes things go around. Of course, I want to thank JT ATM Money, my guy, my ace bone coon, for doing what he does, helping me out, as always, and he's going to take a butt whooping this week. But right now, I'm going to give every opportunity to give their shout outs. Before we go off there, we're going to go in this order. Mr. Nixon, Mike, and Jerry.
Sure, you, man.
Anything you want to say before we go off?
I just want to give a shout-out to just, you know, all the sports fans, all the boxing fans in particular, you know. Yeah, that's pretty much it, man. I'll holler at y'all.
Shout-out to everybody who listened to the show last week. Heard your man Too Sweet. I've been asking what you think about your man Too Sweet.
Okay.
That day was too funny, man. It was too funny. But shout out to my man Jerry. Shout out to my knucklehead cousin. Peace out
to
my man. Say what?
You never did call me about that information you wanted to give you.
Man, you a knucklehead. You a presumptuous knucklehead. You just think you got it above, but you nah. Anyway, peace and blessings to everybody. peace and blessings to everybody. Hopefully Pacquiao could win this fight, but I wouldn't put no money on it.
All right, tune in tomorrow, Master Plan, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Be talking about upcoming matchup and also be talking about the end of this week and how I'm faring in fantasy baseball league, the one league I'm in. With that being said, from Victor, Mr. Nixon, and Macau, you've been listening to
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
You wanna talk smack, you in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics.